Penguin Random House Audio presents Burden, a preacher, a Klansman, and a true story of redemption in the modern South by Courtney Hargrave. Read for you by Dion Graham. With a foreword written and read by Andrew Heckler. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so will you heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22.
Forward. Every once in a while, there comes a story that must be told. Burden is one of those stories. I have vigorously pursued the telling of Burden since 1997. Joined by producer Robbie Brenner in 2004, and feel more strongly about it at this moment than ever. With today's historic eruptions of racial division and cultural anxiety, this story, in its best incarnation, has the power to say something crucial about racism and bigotry across the United States and around the world. I first read about the saga of Michael Burden, Judy Harbison, Reverend David Kennedy, John Howard, and the redneck shop and Ku Klux Klan Museum in the local South Carolina newspaper, The State. I'll never forget that moment, 20 years ago, when a short write-up about a KKK museum opening in a small southern town became the source of a lifelong pursuit. It was just a blurb, but it penetrated me. 7 months later, another story landed in front of me, a tale of faith, hope, and hate in the Los Angeles Times. It told of how a Klansman named Michael Burden, the same man who'd opened the KKK Museum, left the Klan after falling in love with a single mother who slowly changed his heart, and was befriended by Reverend David Kennedy, an African-American minister who led the local protests against Burden's establishment. This story blew my mind. I picked up the phone, called Reverend Kennedy, and asked if I could come to Lawrence and see him. I spent over a month in Lawrence, researching and getting to know the people and details of their extraordinary circumstances. For this short but pivotal period, I found myself experiencing firsthand the plight of the American South. I saw a society rife with unemployment, where the old factory towns that thrived in the South throughout the 20th century had closed their doors and left people without jobs, education, or hope. I got to live amongst a forgotten sector of society, bearing witness to their struggles and their hatred, but at the same time, their love, their tears, and their perseverance. By the end of my time in South Carolina, I knew that this story needed to be told, for it was the story not just of one isolated group of people, but much of America. Millions of people divided by history and conflicting points of view, unable to find common ground. One of my fondest memories from my time in Lawrence and the process of making this film was spending time with the members of Reverend Kennedy's congregation, some of whom are featured in this book and some who aren't. I was struck that people who had so little in the way of material things could have so much love and joy in their lives. I loved spending time at the church and watching all the fun they had, whether it was the love between Mina Bates and her husband Henderson, Jan Kennedy concocting Slichamo's stew in the kitchen, Two Ray dancing around the front steps, or Tusi, better known as Miss Shake-A-Leg, doing her shake for everyone's entertainment. They all shared one thing, joy. Through getting to know Mike, Judy, Reverend Kennedy and his wife Jan, Clarence Simpson and the whole gang, I learned what it means to find courage in the face of adversity. These people did something truly heroic during the period of time portrayed in this story, all without calling attention to their deeds or asking for reward. They did what they did because it was the right thing to do. Their humility, compassion, and kindness taught me that there is no evil in the world, only pain, self-hatred, wounded souls, and disenfranchised humans. I believe this may just hold the key to healing the angry predicament we are in today. After 18 years of false starts and unfortunate events that kept Burden from being realized, we finally jumped off the cliff, and without a net. 6 weeks before the shooting was supposed to start, we had no funding, no actors cast for Mike and Judy,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?